Good afternoon, everyone. As you can tell, I was waiting for it to tick right at noon. D-Line, I'm with you here on 97.5 The Fanatic. I'll be with you until 4 o'clock. Tyler Zuli on the other side of the glass. Sunday afternoon, we have a few things to talk about. First, tonight, and I'm kind of sad about this, the last two episodes of The Last Dance will be tonight, and I will be watching. And I was thinking about it. They did it different because we are all in shut-in, I think. Maybe they would have done it this way, where they had two every weekend and spread it over 5 weeks instead of allowing people to binge watch. But it has allowed for great conversation. And it isn't just with basketball fans. It's amazing how many people who are just casual fans have watched and then will talk about what they have seen. So that's one of the intriguing parts of what this docuseries has done. But I'm a little sad because then it's over and then what? What am I going to look forward to watching again? So I'll have to find something else out there. But as we've talked to a number of people, there's a lot of new, that's for sure. And I saw an interview this morning with Jerry Seinfeld, and the woman told him that an article had been written how Seinfeld, the series, is excellent. What did she call it? Quarantine series, or it's like what you want to go and watch, even though it's old, because it somehow translates even after all these years. And it's true. It made me think. I do watch it. I watched an episode last night and it never gets old, and I probably have seen every one of them. So I'll throw it out to you. Do you have a particular series? And I know some of them in my head, but where the finale was a big deal for you. It doesn't mean it's for everybody, but it was a big deal for you. It was the end of the series, a show. Some of them last long. Some of them, you know how many years they're going to be on. Some of them in this new era, you know, they put X number of episodes on Netflix and then that's the end of that. So a finale that resonated with you, you were looking forward to, and of course, did it meet expectation? Because if it fails, then that's really a bummer. I don't think tonight will fail because I really have enjoyed each episode of The Last Dance, and I have enjoyed the people surrounding Jordan every bit as much as Jordan himself. So, and I think the insight to Jordan the competitor and to the people who had to work with him, whether it was a teammate, coaches, opponents, whether they became friends or not. And that's also the debate. You know, did he even have people who were considered friends at the time that he played with? We're going to talk to one of his teammates coming up at 1 o'clock, BJ Armstrong. And I told Tyler if they were giving, like, best supporting cast from last week's episode, I would give it to BJ. He was tremendous. Partly when he was interviewed about being a teammate of Jordan, and then they did a whole segment on when he had been traded to the Charlotte Hornets and the Bulls come in to play them, and BJ and his teammates, and a lot of it was because he knew what they ran, and he was so able to translate to his new teammates what they were going to do to beat them, and it worked. Now, he was humble in his interview talking about, you know, hey, he had it going on that night, meaning BJ Armstrong did. But it'll be fun to talk to him about being a teammate and being around those championship teams that were led by Michael Jordan and what he's thought of reliving it all these years later, getting to see it and seeing the film behind the scenes that was shot that they knew was taken at the time, but sat unused for, you know, two decades. So that'll be fun and interesting to do for sure. The second part of the question, like in the terms of the finale, There was an interview recently with Channing Frye, who's currently playing in the NBA and was a former teammate of LeBron James, and maybe that is where some of his comments stemmed from. But by and large, I'll paraphrase and then we'll hear from Channing Frye himself. He basically felt that one, Jordan only had one job to do when he played, and that was to score. Now, I will say for Jordan's career, he averaged for his career over 30 points a game. So I'm not disputing that he scored, but that was his only job. I would heavily dispute, because you don't make a NBA record 9 first team, all defensive teams, which Jordan did, and he holds that record with Gary Payton and Kobe Bryant. So you don't do that if you're just scoring. And for his career, he also averaged 2.3 steals. Now, I know that steals don't necessarily say you're a great defender, but I'm just throwing that in there with the 9 first-team all-defense. And then he was 10 times first-team all-NBA, which is not the lead. LeBron actually has the most, and that is 12. And Karl Malone, I'm going to forget one. Karl Malone, oh, I think it's Kobe. Karl and Kobe have 11. And then guys like Jordan and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar have 10. But so saying those things and thinking like that, what athlete, and you can pick a different sport if you want. Obviously, I've focused on basketball, just thinking of Channing Frye saying that he wouldn't be able to play in today's game, Jordan. What athlete does translate, no matter the era, whether it was theirs or you put them in another era, you know that they would still be as great as they were in their time. And I think, you know, some of them are no-brainers. Wilt would have been great any era, period. For me, LeBron would be great any period. Michael Jordan, for sure. I mean, to me, they're no-brainers. So you can think about that and share. And again, you can go to any sport, if you will. Just two things I'll be keeping an eye on today. One, NASCAR is running its race at the Darlington Speedway down there in South Carolina. Interesting. One, there was no practice laps. So they are getting into their cars, and I only know this from having covered way back when I lived in the Midwest, but, you know, to not get in your car beforehand would be similar to not taking any practice swings before you played a golf match, or having your warm-ups basketball-wise just going out cold. So anyhow, no practice, no practice laps. And for some of them, well, actually for all of them, this will be the first time they're racing since March 8th. So I will be interested in just seeing how that goes. And if you feel that there's a tentativeness at the start of the race, just because you're trying to feel out how your car is. I mean, you're trying to assume that everything's good to go, but it would be nice if you could have done that. So that is happening today. The driving relief skins game is happening. That'll begin at 2:00 down there at Seminole in Juneau Beach in Florida. 4 players, no caddies. And so I'll be keeping an eye on that. Again, all that money is for charity. It's Rory McIlroy, Dustin Johnson, Team A, Team B. And it's not A, B, better or worse. I'm just giving them Team A, Team B. Team B is Ricky Fowler and Matthew Wolf. And they're doing this to help organizations that are helping fight COVID-19. So I'll be keeping an eye on that. And then later tonight, of course, we have the episodes of The Last Dance, episodes 9 and 10. And then it'll all be over. You know, I probably will go back and rewatch it. I mean, not right away, but there'll be a time that I'll go back and rewatch it. I know I did that I don't think I had as great an appreciation the first go around when I watched the O.J. Simpson series that was done. And then I went back and probably a year later, I went back and watched it. And it might have been more than a year. It might have been this. No, it wasn't as recent as the pandemic. But anyhow, I went back for wanting to see the production value and some of the footage that was found for that, because I love people who are able to do such great research. And both of these documentaries, and a lot of good documentaries, that's really, it hinges on the quality of the interviews and the research and the footage and pictures that people are able to come upon. So 610-632-0975. And we'll go to Adam in Germantown. Adam, how are you? And thanks for calling the Fanatic.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Dee. Good introduction. I wanted to talk to you, well, first off, about the Channing Frye comments.
Yes.
Okay. Jordan had all the attributes that you look for in today's game, the length, the vertical. I mean, just when you're scouting. And he had the strength. I mean,
yes.
How many guys, other than Alvin Robertson, can I remember, rip the ball out of Hersey Hawkins' hands?
Yeah.
He would just rip it out. So don't tell me that Michael Jordan's job was just to score. Because Michael Jordan played point guard when they went on the West Coast. And they won all four or five games with Doug Collins as coach. I don't want to hear it. Like, these guys that want to say these stupid things either want to get in the media or they're bored.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to say a person can have their opinion. I'm not going to take that away from Channing Frye.
Well, Channing Frye's opinion is pretty meaningless when he's going against, if not the best, ever.
Yeah, no,
I'm just going to say, you're going to talk about the best ever. I don't want to hear Channing Frye's viewpoint.
Exactly. I agree with that part. And I will tell you that maybe this is what he wants. You know, there's plenty of people who part of being in a media role is to create controversy because it gets people to listen and say their name. So if that was his reason, I have no idea.
You know what? That is a very good point. And maybe Channing Frye wants to get into your business. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. Well, because he does, he was on a show. It's not his show, but he was on it as, like, for this episode, he was on the whole podcast. So
I get it. Yeah. I get it. So he gets his name in the media. I got it.
Exactly. All right. Well, because we know his future is not a Hall of Famer.
But it's a wonderful 3-point shooter at 7 feet that helped, what, Cleveland win that championship?
Yes.
Okay. That LeBron wanted so badly. Okay, so I just want to ask you one political question.
You may. I'm not going to promise you that I'll answer, but go ahead.
All right. Do you think, because I know this election's coming down to Obama and Trump, do you think Obama can actually win this election for Biden, who will sit back in the wings? And the last time anyone did this was Reagan did it for George Bush Sr. Do you think Obama can actually beat Trump out this way, being in the political eye, making speeches, doing all he's going to do up until November, and then Biden plays a small role and he ends up in the Oval Office?
Well, it's an interesting thought on your part. I don't think a person who is actually running can just sit in the background completely. There's just no way you can do that.
I hear
what you're saying. And let's just, for a better phrase, having that kind of wingmate would be, and it's not even a real job, like by choice, I think certainly helps the cause for Biden and his people.
Okay, that's a fair answer.
Yeah. Adam, I appreciate it. Will you be watching the Last Dance last episode?
No, I don't have cable, but I'll watch it on YouTube. They usually run these on YouTube.
Oh, do they? Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I'll watch it on YouTube, and I just appreciate listening to you because he gives some NBA perspective. Last thing I'll ask you.
Yes.
I don't think Silver will play. I think it's too much of a risk. I think he'd rather lose his job or then put someone in there that could get infected. What's your opinion?
He will not make a unilateral decision. He has really, really made it clear that the only way they play is by collectively, meaning the Players Association, in agreement with the owners to play. And those conversations have taken place. And it's a much more just, now again, I'm not sitting in the meeting, but I am getting back, you know, people who get the notes of what took place. It seems much more wanting to do this together than what we're hearing with baseball right now. But again, with basketball, the financial part of it is different than what baseball is dealing with because of the way it's structured. So I do actually think that they will do something by July, the end of July, maybe the beginning of July. But I do think they will play some kind of basketball. I think they will watch, especially what the soccer league in Germany, which started yesterday. I think they will watch that. I think they will also see where testing is in our country, which is nowhere near what other countries have right now, because he will not take testing away from the essential people that need that right now, and he will not do that just to get his league up and running.
Okay, so the playoffs will be on and baseball will be on. I hear you.
I hope so. I don't know, Adam. I hope so. Take
care. No fans, though.
No fans. For sure, no fans. I can tell you that. All right. Have a great rest of your Sunday, and thank you for calling the Fanatic. I actually, when I have these conversations, I just assume everybody knows no fans. That's not even a possibility, Tyler.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way that fans are back in the stands for the foreseeable future.
Absolutely. All right. So since we did bring up Channing Frye, and he was on Talking Blazers, which is a podcast of NBC Sports Northwest, which is kind of the same as our NBC Sports Philadelphia, just out there in Portland. And so here he is talking about one Michael Jordan.
He only had really one job, and that was to just score. And he did that at an amazing, amazing rate. But I don't feel like his way of winning then would translate to what it is now. Guys wouldn't want to play with him. Right, I think you have to adjust and adapt. And to say, "Oh, Jordan would average 50," no, he wouldn't. Everyone would double team him.
So he's saying because he would be double teamed, I get that he's not going to average 50. I get that, but there's been plenty of he got plenty of double teams in the time he played. That I know. And the other thing is he really didn't expand on why he thinks people wouldn't want to play with him. Is it because of the competitive? You know, he didn't make anybody his friend in practice. You know, I mean, look, we saw how he banged up Steve Kerr, and Steve Kerr stood right back up to him, but he had great respect for Kerr. So I think there's plenty of people who want a teammate like that, that at all costs, they want to win, period. And I don't think that has anything to do with playing in, you know, the 90s or playing today. Because it equals championships if you have the right talent. Let's check in with Len in Swedesboro. Len, thank you for calling the Fanatic.
Hey, what's up, Dean?
How are you?
Good. I want to put these numbers into perspective for you and the listeners. Channing Frye was born in 1983. Michael Jordan was drafted into the NBA in 1984.
Okay.
Michael Jordan won his last championship in 1998. Channing Frye was 15 years old at that time. And he has no credibility whatsoever.
Yeah,
to speak
but
about Michael Jordan.
This is true, but I think that just because you weren't born at the time or contemporary of a person doesn't mean you can't be educated enough to be able to understand that somebody could play today with the same skills they had back then. I mean, that's why I said, is Channing Frye going to tell me that Wilt Chamberlain would not be the dominant center that he was if he was playing today? Is he going to tell me that?
Yeah, I think he would try to tell you that. He dismisses the fact that Michael Jordan was all defensive team numerous times.
Nine. It's a record.
Exactly. Kobe Bryant based his entire game off of Michael Jordan. Yep. You see Kobe played
and give Kobe credit. He was 9 times all defense, also tied with Mike
Dewey. Yes. Yeah, so that's not just scoring.
I know. I know. So, by the way, I gypped Jordan. I forgot. I mean, I didn't say it yet, but he did win All Defensive Player of the Year once.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Which is an award that, generally speaking, has gone to the big men.
Yes.
Jordan got it. Gary Payton had it.
Right. And then the reason Channing Frye wouldn't know this, though, is because he was like 6, 7 years old at the time. Nobody, I mean, come on. That's why I'm like him, Kendrick Perkins. They keep making these comments because, yeah, LeBron is a great player, arguably can be considered the best in the game, the best ever. But
he's definitely the best in today's game. We're not disputing that.
Right. But they try to dismiss things that Jordan did to make others look. You don't have to do that. If that's your guy, that's your guy.
Yeah. Right. And have appreciation for that. Yeah. Somebody was, you know, on a level that you have to appreciate the competitive nature of this guy.
Exactly. See, I'm 53 years old. If somebody told me Elgin Baylor was a great player, I can't knock that. I might have been born at the time, but I didn't watch Elgin Baylor. Right. But I'm not going to say, oh, no, he couldn't do anything. No. Right. I have to respect the people that actually watched him play basketball.
Yep. And, Len, in this day and age, at least we have YouTube to go and be able to at least watch. Like, we don't have as much footage of Elgin, though I can tell you he was a unbelievable player, but we don't have the library that is available to people to go and look and make educated comments for yourself. We don't even have to like try to pound it into your head. Go watch.
Exactly. All right, thank you.
All right, Len, have a great Sunday.
You too. Thanks.
Thank you. And thank you for calling the Fanatic. Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to dispute that. And by the way, I'm looking at Channing Frye when the previous caller before Len, he is a good 3-point shooter. I'll give him that for his career, 388. I mean, that's good. But there's guys now we're talking about that shoot over 40. And he had the year that he was with Cleveland, he did shoot 41. So, you know, I'll give him that. If he's talking about his job was only, meaning with Michael, was only to score, it would appear to me, if we all your job was is to make threes on a, you know, a really good LeBron team. But I think that's probably where it was coming from, is defending his guy in his era. And I don't know why people think like this series is about taking away from LeBron. You know, it's just, it's not supposed, it's about that team and Jordan in particular. Yes, absolutely. And I think it's been so well done that it's talking about 1998, but you get to keep going back in time to understand what was going on in that present moment that would be the end of a dynasty. And it's those stories interwoven that make it so unique and cool. Jay, I'm going to come to you on the other side, give you your full time. 610-632-0975. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back to 97.5 The Fanatic. D-Line, I'm with you until 4 o'clock this afternoon. It is Sunday afternoon. And amazingly, there's things going on sports channels right now. Soccer being played again. I ran through some of those scores. I didn't know all the teams. I'm bad with their names, too. I knew Dortmund, obviously, they had won because they were the first on. And then they set the schedule, but there was a lot. I noticed in one of the articles, one coach had to watch from, somewhere high in the stands because I did not realize all those teams are quarantined, and he had left to go buy toiletries, and now he has to be separately quarantined for 14 days. And they did let him in the building, and he sat up high all by himself, all because he ran out to get. That's what delivery service is for. Anyhow, so soccer was played this morning. NASCAR is going to happen down there in Darlington, South Carolina. And they had completed four races prior to their last one was March 8th. And so that's they're picking up from there. And obviously the Skins game and then the basketball end of things. We have The Last Dance later today. And Jay is on the line and has some Jordan comments. Jay, thanks for checking in. How are you today? And thanks for calling the Fanatic.
Dean, you know how we do. You know me and you always chop it up on Sundays, Lord. I gotta give it to you, D.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
But here's my thing.
Yes.
Okay. I'm not a new cat, okay? I watched both eras unfold. I watched Jordan's era unfold from 84 to 90, you know, to 98, then came back with the Wizards, and I watched the post era, the Kobe era, the LeBron era.
Yep.
The thing about it is The Last Dance, first of all, The Last Dance is a documentary.
Yes.
Either way you slice it up, it's someone's opinion. Okay. The old heads, you know, with all due respect, the OGs, you know, the people that claim to have watched Larry Bird and Magic Johnson and they watched Jordan come along. Sometimes when you talk about it, they feel like their opinion about Jordan is so much stronger than it with anybody else, like with, you know, with the last caller. I mean, what you were, you know, saying about Channing Frye, that's his opinion.
Yeah.
But my thing is, we all watched his career unfold. And sometimes I feel like with the Last Dance, it's a Jordan documentary. I grew up watching his career. I've seen all the YouTube videos. I've seen Come Fly With Me. I've seen all the Bulls documentaries every time. And
yeah, remember, they used to do them season by season back then.
But what I'm saying is all they are just Jordan documentaries. And they have very, you know, scarcely have little detail about Tony Kukoc, Scottie Pippen, Horace Grant, the rest of them. It's 98% Jordan.
In The Last Dance?
No, that's what I feel. I feel like you got a couple of parts in there that talk Steve Kerr, Scottie Pippen's contract, Dennis Rodman going out. But for the most part, it's just Jordan and his bias. And I feel like people don't really look at Jordan you know, in the game, they just look at this megastar that, took advantage of the NBA going global, and they look at him as this untouchable megastar, but they don't really look at it, in terms of him being a player. How can you be the greatest player of all time when you only can be the greatest player of your era because Kobe, number 24, came along right after you, and he won 5 championships.
Sure. And before Jordan, there were others before him. I mean, Chamberlain. And
yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's my whole thing with this, you know, people who undeniably shut everything down with Jordan as the best player of all time is, you know, he was the best player of his era. Every era looks different. First of all, you had teams coming together and guys playing together for 10, 11, 12, 13 straight years. Here, you got guys that sign a one-year contract with a second-year option. They're out after 2 years. You can't even build teams the way you did back in the 80s and 90s. So you can't compare them. You can't. Jordan was great in his era, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's fair. Absolutely fair. And to pick one is usually difficult. I will say I do disagree. I think you've gotten great insight to some of those relationships. The Kukoc, when he came over, the things that were, how his teammates felt towards him. Certainly the year that Jordan wasn't playing and they designed the play for Kukoc to take the last shot and Pippen doesn't go in the game. Uh-huh. I mean, I think you're learning a lot about some of those moments that I didn't know. Now, if you were a beat writer, you might have seen and known about that. I think there's a lot that you're learning about the teammate situation. And in terms of the best in his time, I'll give you that. I will say from a competitive standpoint and what that guy did from a mental standpoint, how he saw winning and what he was willing to do to win at all costs. I've covered this game a long time, and I don't usually use it about that, but I'm just telling you, I've never seen somebody like that. And I've seen some great ones.
Much respected opinion, B. I always respect your opinion and your work. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it too, Jay. And I agree. When you try to pick one, it's the same in any sport. Who's the best football player of all time? You know, then you start debating. That's what happens. And
that's what I mean. Eras have changed. Life has changed.
Yes.
What constitutes greatness in the 90s is not what constituted greatness when Kobe played. And it's not what it has changed the way it looks.
Well, the game does evolve. Absolutely. The only thing I would say that nobody would want to play with him, I just don't understand what's the basis of saying nobody would want to play with him.
I guess because of how fierce of a competitor he was.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But you and I both know most people, if you have this desire to succeed, usually you do want to be around great, you know, talent and people who have the same desire. So I can't imagine. And look, let me tell you this. If they were doing a pickup game and it's LeBron and MJ, LeBron gets taken, MJ's still there. You telling me Channing Frye's not going to take MJ on his team? I'm just curious.
Right.
If I get the opportunity, I will ask him.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Jay, thanks for always checking in with us. I do appreciate it.
No problem. Enjoy your Sunday.
Yes, you too. Yeah, that'd be a good question. You think that'd be good, Tyler? I'd be nice about it.
Yeah, I think if you could do it in a professional way, which I obviously expect you would, then I think that you should probably ask him.
Channing, so we're playing 5-on-5. Unfortunately, LeBron just went off the board. MJ's still there. You taking him?
If he says no, he's either doubling down on some kind of crazy lie, or he truly believes that there are two players that are better than Jordan.
And in fairness, I should tell people, he was on the podcast, and they do, most people, I don't know if they'd be interested in listening to the whole thing, but there is, and they give you the rundown. You can go and check in on it. It's called Talking Blazers, and I found it on the internet. So if you need to hear more of Channing, you can go there. 610-632-0975. Let's go to M in the Northeast. M, what's going on? Thanks for joining us on this Sunday.
Hey, anytime. I listen to you every weekend whenever you're on. I'm listening. I turned 70 on Friday, so I think that makes me an old head. Okay.
I don't know. 70 sounds young to me. M.
Yeah, I know. You know, I saw Wilt play, not on TV. I saw Wilt play
in person. Wow.
In person.
My dad always tells me about that.
Oh, man. That was, and I'm not saying that it was better or anything like that. It was just there, and I was glad that I was able to see that.
All right, wait, Em, just before you continue, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Did you see him at Convention Hall?
Yes, I did see him at Convention Hall. I am that old.
No, we just want the people to know that it was right here in our backyard.
It was.
Yes.
Here's what I know, and I know this for a fact, okay? I'm going to state that. A great player of any era is a great player of any era.
Yes.
Babe Ruth would be a great player today. Now,
he wouldn't
be able to carouse, and he would have to go in to do training. I'm not going to say that the players today are much better than the players back then. Maybe they're in better shape because they do it all year round. I understand all that. But great players of any era are great players of any era. And as far as Michael Jordan scoring 50 points, I think he probably could but wouldn't want to because he's going to be surrounded with even better players. But here's the deal. Why would he score 50 points today? What team is going to play him like the Pistons?
Exactly. Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
There's no Jordan rules. You can't, if you watch the documentary and if you watch Michael Jordan play, whenever he went to the basket, especially against the Pistons, after he let go the shot, he was on the floor.
Yes. Well, they were trying to, and it failed, fortunately. Maybe early on it didn't fail, but because when he talked about getting in the weight room and all of them, because they were just not going to be bullied by them anymore.
Right.
That he never allowed someone to see that they were under his skin. Right. You know, like his face would get anger, you know what I mean? But he's never been charging back at people. And he, all he wanted to do was get the better of you the next time out.
He wasn't interested in making friendships. He was interested in winning championships. He was even annoyed when he got hurt and couldn't be in the playoffs. He was annoyed by that, and that was something that drove him.
How about when they had him on a 14-minute, they didn't, we call it time management now, but the 14-minute restriction, I thought he was going to blow a gasket.
You could see when he was sitting on the bench that he didn't want anything to do with that.
Oh, my gosh.
And Shannon Fry saying that is just a symptom of he doesn't want to win at all costs.
Right.
And if you're going to go out in between the lines, you have to be there to win. Nothing else. Nothing else matters. That's the great thing about sports. There's no, well, we'll see about it in 20 years, or we'll do this here, or we'll put this plan in place and maybe it will work. At the end of the game, you tilt your head up, you look at the scoreboard, and you see who won and lost. And that's what makes sports great. And as always, Dee, my best to your father.
I appreciate that.
And the hawk will never die.
Em, have a great one. I appreciate the time. Thank you. And I'm glad you got to tell us that you saw Wilt in person. That's like a feather in your cap.
I was only a little kid, but I remember.
That's good for you.
He was bigger than I was.
Just by a little.
Yes.
All right, Em. Thanks for joining us here on 97.5 The Fanatic. The other thing, and I'll share the numbers on the other side, when if you're talking about could he average 50. I'm not sure he could average 50. Maybe. And like I said, for his career, which is pretty impressive, that for all those years he did average 30. But there's one statistic that would be far greater, I think, and I'll share that on the other side. 610-632-0975. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. Dee Lynam with you until 4 o'clock. Tyler Zuli on the other side of the glass. We have BJ Armstrong, former Chicago Bull and teammate of Michael Jordan, and a star of last week's episode, I must say. One of the stars, for sure. Because he was traded, and then they have a really good segment where the Bulls go in to play the Charlotte Hornets. And as BJ said, those Hornets, they weren't very good. Actually, it wasn't just for a regular season game. They were playing them in the playoffs. And, you know, everything's supposed to be a sweep with those Bulls. And Charlotte won that first game, and BJ went off. And it was just so fun to see the reactions of the Bulls and Phil Jackson on the sideline when the Hornets won. It was classic. But anyhow, we'll talk to BJ coming up. The funny part is, in addition to that he was a teammate of Michael Jordan, I actually have a photo, and the photo was blown up for me and framed of a good friend of mine who is an NBA photographer. Took a picture of my dad coaching the Sixers against the Bulls one year, and they're winning the game, and you can see it's a matter of seconds on the clock in the background, but the Bulls have the ball. Sixers are winning, but it's going to be the final possession, and my father is literally almost out at half court trying to communicate to his teams, and the person standing next to him waiting for the inbounds is BJ Armstrong. And so I always say to BJ, you hang in my office for now 2 decades. It's hysterical. But it's a great photo.
I got to imagine the play call from your dad's pretty simple. Don't Stop, let Jordan. That Jordan guy get the ball.
I really should have, we might have to call him. He's probably out golfing, but because my remembrance, and again, I didn't live on the East Coast when he was coaching the Sixers at that point, so I wasn't going to games per se, but in conversations, his thought process, just as we have listened Channing Frye saying that everybody would double him, his thought always was, Jordan's going to get his. We cannot let somebody else have a monster game. And so that particular, if I went to the through the schedule, I could find the game that it was of that picture because it was so fun. And again, where he has placed himself on the court, you know, you're not supposed to leave the coach's box. And he so wanted that victory, I guess, because it was one of the great Bulls teams. So we'll talk to B.J. Armstrong about that. But The Last Dance has been very conversation-provoking. That's what I'll call it. And in a way that just gets you talking, and I like that Tyler says that no other sport sparks fights like the discussion about NBA GOAT. And you're probably right. And part of it might be because have the other games changed? Now, the philosophy of how people play them, for instance, so much of like the shift in baseball, right? Or, you know, how everybody wants to hit it out of the ballpark now, whatever analytics has said, that part has changed. But the kind of baseball player that, like the guy just said, Babe Ruth, you know, has the difference in who you are, what you need to be, changed as much? Like in basketball, because the physicality has evolved where you're not allowed to be. I guess football, that would be, the rules have changed to make that different as well. And basically with every sport, one thing that we have learned over time is that the thought process has said offense, offense, offense. People, fans want to see offense, scoring. And so tweaking rules to make that possible or more possible is, I think, what has come to people's minds.
Well, I certainly think for especially you mentioned football, things go both ways because you always talk about, you know, when you're going into the 21st century and closer to today, the argument's always, you know, bigger, faster, stronger.
Yep.
When you use the inverse, though, the one that always comes to my mind was Dan Marino, who was a perennial 5,000-yard quarterback in the kind of the last era that allowed, you know, corners and safeties to hit wide receivers in the open field. Like, you imagine, what would he do today? Like, he'd put up better than Stafford numbers.
Exactly.
He was a compiler.
Right. So that goes to the argument of the person who was saying Jordan could average 50. And the same thing. Can you imagine a Marino in that climate of how many more people he could connect with? But I had said I had a stat. The one thing I think that if you put Jordan in this era that he would excel at would be getting to the line more. Because I just think of a James Harden who year after year averages, you know, the double digits attempts at the free throw line. And while Jordan did do that twice, it was very early on in his career. It was before they started winning championships, 87 and 88. He averaged the 1 year 11.9 free throws a game and the next 10.5. But after that, am I doing that right? Yeah. After that, he never averaged double-figure free throws again. And if we're going to go to the 93 before he took his baseball break, I call it, he averaged 7 free throws a game. And in this current series that we're looking at, 98, that was his highest since those double-digit times, and it was 8.8. I think in the way the rules are today, that he absolutely would be in the Harden range, if not higher, because he was fierce at attacking people, the rim, and corralling him. The guy was so strong. I'm going to go and look at LeBron's numbers at the line. 610-632-0975. Mitch is with us. Mitch, how are you this weekend? Nice to hear from you.
Hey, Andy. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
Hope you're feeling well. You know,
so. Yeah. It's a beautiful...
You know, that's like the Russian roulette thing. You don't know if you have it, you don't have it.
I know. No. Well, I feel good, so that's the good part.
All right, that's good. Great. I just love that they say that yesterday's players can't play in today's times or vice versa. I think Michael Trout, Mickey Mantle. What about, I miss about the old basketball. Back then, you had the real centers. And I guess you could say Shaq was the real last big center. You know, now the centers are maybe not as big, but they like to shoot. But I just miss the old days.
With the big centers, and do you miss that they played in the low post more?
One of the best things about Michael Jordan's game was like he just liked to drive. I mean, that's the surest way of getting
fouled.
I miss those centers.
Well,
I don't like to see the old physical play. I mean, they talk about offense, that's great. I mean, if you want to cut down on the score in football, say, bring back the head slap. But yeah, I'm just being facetious there. But that was a time where you could just slap the guy and then you just straight on to, you know, and I don't want to see those days come back with just cheap shots. And they should take care of the running backs, though.
Yes. And especially in football, I think some of the things, there's an article in today's Philadelphia Inquirer just about, four local former Eagles who have lost, but just the head trauma that people suffered. I think some of the rules, while it looks like it's for scoring, some of it definitely with football is about health and, you know, not having so many people later in life suffering because of these nasty hits.
Yeah, they got to cut down on that. That is tragic. Well, you know, you like at least two knuckleheads that got arrested this past week. I think they'll be worried about other things. They don't have to worry about it. They weren't in the game long enough. You know, they still. That is mind-boggling what they did.
I know.
That's all I got.
All right, Mitch, I appreciate it.
It doesn't look like baseball. If you read about it, I think the play, I don't see how it's worth it. Like, they can't take showers. Get Uber.
That doesn't mean they're not going to shower. They're just not going
to
do it there.
Who wants to go in their car all sweaty and dirty?
Well, I mean, back in the day, everybody got on a bus and did that, believe it or not. So, I mean,
they can't have buses now. I mean,
meaning, like, when I played a high school game, that's what we did. We got on the bus and had to go home. That's, you know, I know it doesn't sound great, but Yes, last thing.
I think I'm going to wear a mask. Well, I'll keep wearing a mask and wear them out of the house, but the ball plays, baseball especially, football, are they allowed to sweat? I mean, I know I'm being tongue-in-cheek here, but
No, I know.
The whole season's ruined, especially baseball.
It's definitely has its major hurdles to get over. I agree with you. Mitch, I appreciate the phone call. I mean, you can go through. They didn't have all 67 pages that were presented, Major League Baseball, to the Players Association. And I will be interested. They say sometime this week the players will look at it. The union will look at it and then send back some revisions. And I'll be very interested in the revisions. And this has nothing to do with the finance. That is a separate document. This is strictly... what they think of the safety things that were laid out. And I did like both sides have been conferring with medical people to help them put their ideas together. And the union's doing that as well. And they're getting their information as well. So I just like people trying to do the right thing. 610-632-0975. We'll continue taking your calls on the other side, and we'll also talk to BJ Armstrong, formerly of the Chicago Bulls. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.